Welcome to the Just Off Glen podcast with your host, Christy Alexander, where we talk to the movers, shakers, and change makers. Just Off Glen.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Just Off Glen podcast. In this episode today, we're recapping some insights from one of our recent workshops. So here at WorkSmart, we've been hosting the Season of Success workshop series, and I'm really excited about the way that it's brought a lot of our local small business owners together and what we are able to walk away with. One of the things that's been important to me about this workshop series and those of us here at WorkSmart is that we're not just telling you what to do, but we're actually allowing time to workshop ideas, to get in-person feedback and to make corrections or sharpen our expertise on the spot. So today I am joined by strategic website designer Corinne Pettit, who generously shared her expertise with us as part of our Season of Success workshop with the Small Changes, Big Results workshop. And she shared strategic tips for boosting website inquiries and bookings. Thank you so much for being here, Corinne.
Thanks for having me, Christy.
The workshop was a lot of fun. You really floored us all with coming up with workbooks for each one of us. And that broke down each of the steps that we needed to walk through, our areas of focus, as well as a website action plan. So I'm excited to share some of what we learned with listeners. For all of what we learned, should have joined the workshop, and maybe we'll do this again sometime.
It would be an honor.
Hopefully we can inspire you with some of the key takeaways. So let's start with the small changes that are getting big results. Somebody made a comment in the workshop about the idea that these changes are simple but not easy. Can you break that down and in the context of improving our website? Why are some small changes sometimes more effective than starting from scratch? And then help us understand how we can know which is better.
Yeah. Sometimes knowing exactly what's working and what isn't on your website can be a little tricky. It can be a matter of just that understanding of the pieces that move people towards getting in touch with you, whether they are booking a call or inquiring about working with you. But the small results or the small changes, sorry, that can result in large impact to your website. When you know what you're looking for, they can be really easy to, or simple to implement, mm-hmm. but a little bit of brain power is required. So
right.
One of the ones we talked about, for example, was the top part of your website, that intro sentence. I had a client in the past who they had a really, really long sentence at the top of the website. And the goal of their website was to get a lot of entries for a sweepstakes they were hosting. And we looked at the conversion rate, so how many people were entering versus how many people were showing up. And it just was not doing what it should be doing. Mm. We're looking at it and we're like, man, this, we should be having a much higher rate of entries than we're having. And I'm looking through the website, and if you land on it and you look at it, it's very overwhelming. The sentence at the very top was just really daunting.
Right.
So we adjusted it and made it a little bit more about them, about the people who are entering. And this was for a free vacation, so we made it a little more exciting. And it ended up almost 3x-ing the number of entries. So that's kind of just an example.
Big results.
Yes, those are the, that's kind of an example of like, yes, it's a small change. All it is changing one sentence. But maybe thinking over, we probably wrote like 15 or 20 different versions before right. we finally were like, I think this is a good one to try. So you can get really great improvements from making small changes. I know sometimes people look at their website and they want to pull their hair out and they're like, I just need to burn it down and start all over because they're just not happy with it. And often right. you don't really have to do that. There's a time and a place to redo your whole website if you have the time and the money to do so. But sometimes you can get really great momentum and improvements from those small adjustments.
One thing that I noticed with that that particular website that you just spoke of, what you shared, that sentence was so long that people weren't even reading the whole sentence. And the whole exciting part about entering the sweepstakes and what you would win was at the end of that long sentence. So people weren't even reading to get to the point of here's what you could win, you know? So definitely if you confuse, you lose.
Yes, it was funny. Even in the workshop, I had it up in front of you guys and I mentioned it, and I think unanimously across the board, everyone's like, yeah, I didn't even read it. Like, it was too long. Right. I didn't read it.
And it's like, that's fun. Yeah, I didn't. Yeah,
that was probably exactly what was happening to the people who were going to the website. Right. They weren't reading it. They were like, okay. And it's not something you decide consciously when you arrive to a website. You don't think this is too long, I'm not reading it. It just is overwhelming. So you lose interest and you leave.
Yeah. So we have seconds to capture somebody's attention and keep them engaged.
Yep. They say 7 seconds.
Is it seven?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think I think it's probably getting shorter and shorter with the world we live in with the instant gratification and everybody's slow attention span. It's probably going to be 5 soon.
Right. And so you need 7 seconds. And I think that not too long ago, it was like people have to see things, I don't know, 8 times, but they've increased that.
Yeah, so we have less time to catch their attention and we have to say the thing
more
way
often.
More times for them to actually pay attention and digest it. So
it's like being a parent.
It's tough out there.
Holy cow, it really is. So one thing I'm curious about is the number one mistake that you see most often when people are trying to design their websites.
Yeah. I think a lot of times people want the answer of the actual design itself, like the physical pieces. And those are important, but really the biggest thing that would help so many people if they did before starting a website is to go into it with a plan. So rather than opening up your website builder and starting a page and putting information in, putting pretty pictures in, writing some content, going to the next page and adding in your services and all of that, those are all great things that all has to happen. But if you kind of pause for a minute and come up with a plan, like what is the purpose of your website? What role is it going to be serving? Are you using this to get new clients? Is it part of your process throughout your client experience, which is probably not usually the case for most people? So just having an idea of the goal of creating this website and setting out a little plan, like literally just get pen and paper out, sketch out some information that you want to include, sketch out the point of the website, what do you want people to do, and having that written down and right in front of you and actually referencing it when you're creating your website or planning your website, looking back to it and saying, okay, yeah, that's right, that's the whole point of this. And I do that with my one-on-one clients all the time. Mm-hmm. At the very beginning of a project, the very first thing I do is I open up a Google Doc and I fill in a little template that I've created that I use for projects. And I fill in like the core components of like, what's their goal? What information are we including? What's the end goal of the website and everything like that? So you kind of have that, rough outline before you start getting into the design, because then you're kind of in the weeds and you can kind of lose track of what you were there for.
Right. So a plan, a map, where are we going? Mm-hmm. And it can feel daunting. I know I've met so many business owners, so many entrepreneurs. It just like anything, you need a plan. You need to know where you're going. So I think, you know, the way that you do it with your clients, that's a great idea. If you don't want to do it on your own, if it feels overwhelming or it feels daunting, grab somebody and sit down and brainstorm these ideas together, but definitely have a plan.
Yeah.
Great tip. This is a great time to let you know that this episode of Just Off Glen is brought to you in part by the Grove Venture Lab. Bringing a great business idea to life, for profit or not, is hard. Most new businesses fail within the first 5 years. You deserve to succeed, but you don't know it all, and you don't have to. With business planning tools, financial resources, and one-on-one mentoring, the Grove Venture Lab will help you identify challenges and build your roadmap for continued success. From marketing strategies to financial guidance and everything in between, you need solutions and The Grove will help you find them. Stack the odds for success in your favor. Contact The Grove Venture Lab today at thegrove.biz. That's thegrove.biz. Now, back to the podcast. You had mentioned that some things matter in a website and others don't. How can we know how to prioritize what matters? I mean, we've got, you know, we've got our brand package, so we've got all our pretty colors and we've got our pictures and we're going to sit down and put together this website. How do we know what matters? I mean, our plan, of course, but can you go a little deeper on that?
Yeah. I think one of the easiest frames or one of the best frames to view creating a website through is putting yourself in the shoes of your ideal client. Because at the end of the day, as much as our websites are a reflection of us and we feel very like personally attached to them and we hope that they express who we are and what we do, they really serve your client more than yourself. Mm-hmm. It's meant to be speaking directly to them and connecting with them and giving them a really easy, seamless experience through your website as an introduction to your business, what you do, how you can help them, and what step they should take in order to get in touch with you if they want to work with you. So when it comes to creating a website or improving a website, one of the key things is just knowing who your person is and what they're looking for. And I've actually found recently a new prompt with AI that I found really helpful for this sometimes when I'm working on either a sales page or a specific website for a client. I'll go into ChatGPT and I give them the link and I say, here's the link to this website that I'm creating. And you give them a lot of context, like you get out of ChatGPT what you put into it. Mm-hmm. So if you just say like, go to this website and tell me what you think, it's not really going to give you a lot of context. But I found it really helpful to give it the link, say, you are a client who is seeking a therapist and you're struggling with your mental health. And there's this website here. Scroll through the homepage and narrate your inner monologue as you get through each section and tell me what questions you have, what things are missing, like you as that patient or that person looking for a therapist, and you're asking ChatGPT, who will then narrate and explain pieces that could be missing or things you could add in to really speak to that customer. So it's kind of like a sidebar, but a helpful little AI tip that I've been using. I've done it for client websites. I've recently been working on building out some case studies on my website where I dive a little bit deeper into specific projects I've had, and I'll even give that to ChatGPT and say, you're a prospective client seeking a website. Scroll through this case study and narrate your thoughts and tell me any things that you feel if you're seeking a website is missing. And I've gotten really great insight from it. There was one case study that I had it read through and it told me, oh, you have a lot of great testimonial in here about your experience and what a great support you were to the client and how confident they felt in working with you, but you don't really provide any metrics or any numbers, any like the tangible, logical side of the brain info in terms of results that they got, which I thought was a really eye-opening piece of feedback. Because sometimes when you're in it, you're in it.
Yeah.
And you can get that outside perspective, whether it's a robot or a human, mm-hmm. to help you see kind of what you're missing because you're kind of in the weeds. So I found that to be really helpful in helping me to think about the client and make sure that what we're creating or what you're creating in your website supports them and answers their big questions.
I appreciate those practical ways that we can leverage AI to help us with this. That's pretty insightful. You had talked about the primary menu on our websites. I wasn't necessarily looking at it from that perspective of when our customer lands on our website, when it came to our menu bar. For example, for us, the renovation of the building that we're in, and people are very interested, and it's become part of our journey, part of our story as we've invested in this region and the economic development and growth of this region. So that wasn't on our website. So I needed to put that there. And then it's like, okay, so now it's got to be in the menu, and what needs to be in the main menu, what needs to be below. But I wonder if you could explain the menu and how crucial it is, maybe share a general tip on how business owners can think about organizing their website's navigation.
Yeah, the menu is a sneaky one. It's something that a lot of people think is inconsequential. And it really sets the tone for your website. So maybe next time you're visiting a website, you as the consumer, maybe pay attention to your reaction now that you're conscious of it. The menu at the very top of the website, a lot of websites, if you go to them, you'll notice they have tons and tons and tons of options. Some
right.
businesses will put everything in the menu. And there's actually studies that show that the more items you have in your menu, the less people will click. So we're actually overwhelming people by putting everything in the menu. Mm-hmm. My rule of thumb is about 5 or 6 items in the menu at the most. The primary menus, if you have like a drop down, say you have services and it drops down to service 1, 2, and 3, if those are nested in a drop down, those aren't immediately visible. So those are kind of free. Those don't count towards your count. But yeah, being really intentional about what you put in your menu is so impactful. And it also helps create that easy experience. Again, we're trying to think about our client or our customers in making the website really easy and a positive experience for them. And we do that by having a really easy to understand menu that's organized and makes sense. And when they look at it, they know what it means. Like they're seeing menu items and they can understand what the item means before clicking it. I refer to like menu items or even buttons as sort of like a door where if you don't know what's on the other side of it, people are not really likely to click it. They want to know where it's going to take them before they click it. So having your button say like book a tour is very clear. Like mm-hmm. I know if I click that, it's probably going to take me to a calendar or a form where I can choose a time and plan my visit. On the contrary, if it said come hang out with us or stop in or something that's maybe a little cheeky and filled with personality, but not clear, people are far less likely to take that action because they don't know what it means. So that's the menu is just a really great place to organize all your information and set people up for an easy, very intuitive experience on your website. And that's going to result in more people, more good fit people reaching out to you, booking, inquiring or whatever it is that you're wanting people to do on your website.
I like that analogy of the doors. You had talked about a strategic path that our website basically should take people on a path and not take them backwards in that path. So not take them back out that door. Talk a little bit about that because that really stood out to me.
Yeah. I call it a strategic path, and really you're trying to get from point A to point B. And point A is they just landed on your website. What do they do? And point B, all the way at the end, is that end goal. So for most service-based businesses, that's going to be for someone to reach out to you, to contact you, to schedule a discovery call or whatever that is. Mm-hmm. So that being like your end goal, that's your point B. So we really want to think about how do we get them through your website to achieve that final end goal? I like to use the analogy of dating where you wouldn't just meet someone and immediately ask them out on a date. You probably want to get a little bit of information about them, get to know them. Like, what do you do for work? Tell me about yourself. maybe ask some friends, like, do you know this person, or what do you know about them? Mm-hmm. So that's sort of what our website is doing as well. So we have our homepage where they're getting that initial info, the high level information of who we are and what we do. And we might have our about page where for WorkSmart is talking about the story of the building and more about the business. Then maybe our services page where we talk about the actual service that we provide, the packages or the offers that are available, and then a contact page. The path is going to be different from business to business, but the goal is getting them to move through the pages in a seamless way that feels really supportive to them. So they're getting the information that they're looking for, because more than likely when they first land on your website, they're not feeling like 100% ready to move forward because they don't know everything. They want to get a better understanding. So we're moving them from page to page. And I always say with that strategic path, so we're moving them along that path from your homepage to maybe your about page and then your services, whatever that is for your particular business, we're always wanting to move them forward. So one example of this is if you actually were to sketch it out in a path, like from A to B, all the stops along the way, let's say that the final page that they're looking at before they reach out to you is your services page. And they're looking at your packages and all the amazing things that you can do for them. Maybe at the bottom, we have a little bit about you, like, oh yeah, this is the face behind the business. This is who I am and what I do and how I'm going to help you. It may be intuitive to then put a button there to go to your about page to learn more about you, dive more into that. However, if that's like, if the services page is that second to last step of getting to work with you, and now we send them backwards to the about page, we're creating kind of like a loop.
Yeah.
And they can get kind of stuck in that.
Right. So you just took them, you just interrupted that journey, that nurturing journey.
Yep.
Yikes.
Yeah. And like people can always go backwards on their own. If
right.
they are wanting to get a little bit of more information about you, they can always do that. But I like to think of those buttons and that path on your website as something that's really, again, thinking about them and trying to support them and moving through the website as seamlessly as possible. Because they don't want to have to sit there and think about like, okay, where do I go next? They want to read through your services. And now once they have a really good idea of what you offer, it's time to chat and it's time to see what other questions do you have? What else do you want to know?
That's such a great way to put it. I really appreciate the idea of moving them through in a supportive way. You had talked in the beginning about that particular website that had kind of the overly long sentence of what they wanted you to do once you landed on their website. That is referred to as the one-liner. So talk a little bit about how we should approach the one-liner.
So the one-liner is the very first sentence at the top of your homepage. So it's the first sentence anybody is going to read on your website, and it's the most important sentence on your entire website. So there's a little bit of pressure in writing it, and it does take time. When it came to the workshop, we went through five like areas of focus, and that was the last one. And I made that the last one because I knew 1 through 4 we can get through during the workshop time.
Right.
And then the fifth one, I was like, all right, this is our website one-liner. Here's a couple of formulas that can help you with them. But you're not going to get this done today. I have worked with copywriters who say the website one-liner will take them 50 to 60 to 70 time to narrow it down and get it right. So it is something that takes quite a bit of effort, but you want to think about the language that goes into the one-liner being focused again towards your client. Mm-hmm. So rather than saying, I design websites for you, terrible example, but rather than saying, I do this, you could say something along the lines of, revamp your website to bring in more inquiries or bookings or whatever that is. Mm-hmm. So, and like I said, obviously these take a lot of effort. I'm not going to get it off the top of my head, but having that framing of having it in the language of your client and about them and about the positive transformation that they get from working with you. So when they land on your website and when they read that website one-liner at the very top, it should immediately tell them if they're in the right place. So that's really the sole purpose of that is when people land there, you immediately want them to know, is this person's service for me? And this is particularly helpful with people who are specific to a niche. Like they can say, I don't use that as the one-liner, but say they're a website designer specifically for interior designers. If they put that in their headline and then an interior designer lands on it, now that interior designer feels 100 times more confident that this person can do what they need them to do
right.
because of that specificity. So if you make it about your person and who, what you do, who you do it for, and what that positive outcome is, it's going to, it just makes a huge difference. And it is something that, again, you could probably use ChatGPT to help you with, but they're not going to come up with a good one.
Right. No. They can support you in this process.
Yes. There's going to be a lot of typical AI language,
right.
but it can help with the brainstorming process of asking what are 10 positive outcomes that people seeking a website redesign are looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And they can give you those ideas and you can massage it into something that sounds a little more human.
Right. And I like the idea of brainstorming a list, then grab somebody and go through that list and what stands out to you, what makes the most sense. And it's always fun if you can grab somebody who's not super familiar with your offering. And I think that they always have some great perspective to offer. Like, so you're telling me you're doing this? No, that's not what I'm doing. Okay, back to the drawing board.
Yes.
So it's a process, and we give you permission to make time and be super intentional, and you're going to have some not so great one-liners, and that's okay.
Yep. Yeah, they take a lot of time. You're probably going to hate 95% of them. But yeah, ping-ponging them off other people is also really helpful too. Get that outside context, because what's clear to us sometimes is not clear to other people.
Right. So we are nearing the end of 2024, and I'm always interested in looking forward and what's coming up. So are you particularly seeing any trends when it comes to website design for 2025?
It's interesting because a lot of design trends come and go really quickly. So I tend to be someone to kind of ignore trends for a while at first till I see what's going to stick around and what's not. And I think to some extent trends are fun and they can be a really nice way to have your website feel more timely, more new and fresh. But I think it's important to keep in mind your brand and being on brand to yourself and being true to yourself. And if a new design trend feels right for you, I know a lot of design trends currently are looking almost a little bit more like retro or like early 90s. People are kind of liking the vibrant colors, the little more blocky old text or even stuff
I've seen that.
That seems to be pretty popular right now. I've also seen an uptick in, it's almost like maximalism. Like you have minimalism. If you imagine your home where a minimalist house is very like clean and beige and neutral. And I've noticed a lot of designs testing out the more maximalist approach. Almost if you could imagine like a website as a scrapbook where you have just like photos overlapping each other in like every nook and cranny and like little accent text here and big bold text there and swooshes of color, like kind of just like really pumping in a lot of detail and aesthetics to the design. I've noticed that being very trendy at the moment. Personally, this doesn't speak to me because I love white space on websites, like the empty breathing room. And I think it's really important for the user experience because it helps us to process and focus. But back to the maximalism design trend, I think that is a really fun trend to play around with for creatives, people in like the more aesthetic and creative field. I wouldn't necessarily say that's a great approach for a like a lawyer's office or something that's a little bit more corporate, but I have noticed that picking up, and I'm interested to see where it goes and if more people will pick up on that or if it's just kind of a fleeting little fad.
Right. Great recommendations. One thing I worry about with the trends is that everybody starts to look the same. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate your advice to kind of stay true to your brand and who you are and the user experience.
Yeah.
So great information. If someone is ready to start making small changes to their website, but they're feeling overwhelmed, what is the first action you recommend they take to get some momentum?
I think the most important part is kind of circling back to where we started, is just getting clear on your plan and your goals for your website. So making sure that your website and your business are aligned in those business goals so that your plan for your website supports that.
Great advice.
Thank you. Great advice.
Oh, one of the things that is really important to us here at Work Smart is the way that we support business owners and give them the opportunity to focus on what it is that they do well, whether that's coaching clients or helping people with their financial planning. And so what we do is we provide the space, but we also provide the community and the opportunity to focus on what you do well and invest in someone else's expertise to help you grow your business. So
yeah, absolutely. You can visit my website, corinepettit.com, and I have two main services that support people at different levels. There's the custom website design service, which is a one-on-one project where we redo your entire website together. And then I also offer strategic website audits, which are a lower cost investment. And I go through your whole website and make those small change recommendations that will result in those big results. So that's a really good fit for someone who's not quite ready to do the full website redo, but they're looking for another set of eyes on their site from someone who knows what to look for.
Perfect. If today's recap of our recent workshop sparked some inspiration for you, then check out our upcoming workshops. We regularly host sessions that are filled with resources and tools designed to help business owners thrive. And the bonus is you get to connect with other like-minded business professionals. So we can link to those in the show notes as well, but you can also find those at our website. So thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll see you next time. Just Off Glen.
Thanks for listening. This podcast was recorded at Work Smart Coworking and Meeting Space in downtown Glens Falls and produced by Black Mountain Visuals. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Join us again next time. We'll meet just off Glen.